Greetings and salutations, everyone. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. I'm the net control operator for the Limark Technical Net. Limark Technical Net has been going strong for more than 44 years. And every Sunday night, we sit in front of our radios at 8 o'clock, and we talk to each other. We inform each other. We educate each other. And we entertain each other. And I thank you once again for joining me this Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we try and do it all over again. Now let me drop, and I will return with the usual links. If you would like to reach me via email, that would be either for what we used to call mailbag questions, that were usually asked during the technical net on the TechNet, but if you're not in radio distance, you can email me the question. We can discuss it during the TechNet. You can either listen to an audio stream on the Internet or an archive file of the TechNet and figure out what our response was. Or if you have a topic that's in the news that you're familiar with and you'd like to update us and share your expertise, email me and tell me what it is, and if it seems appropriate, we'll give you some time to do that. Or if you have a TechNet puzzle, we're always looking for them. They're as rare as hen's teeth, and I'm always happy to find one, just kind of out of nowhere. So if you have something like that, email me and suggest it. Or if you want me to tap Paul, WS2N, on the shoulder and have him take a look at some NASA or space-related story, of course, you can directly email him. His email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. My email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. And throughout the week, I cut and paste interesting articles, YouTube videos, what have you, and I collect them on a link page, and they're available every week, and I keep them up there for years. So if you're got a touch of insomnia some night or just kind of curious, just type into your browser roy.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring up the link page. We also have a chat room available. Sometimes it's busy, sometimes it's quiet. You can get to it by typing into your browser chat.ac2gs.com. As I mentioned earlier, we offer an audio stream on the Internet. Just type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com, and that will give you the audio stream. I started it primarily for the technical net, but some people asked me to leave it live for the rest of the week, and so most of the time it's live. If you're out of radio distance and you still want to listen to the Glen Oaks repeater, you can just type in technet.ac2gs.com and it'll give you the audio stream. And AC2NJI has a great archive site. It's called amateurradio.tv, and it has archives of the Limark Technical Net that go as far back as September of 2006. So avail yourself of this this archive site. It has the recorded wisdom of many amateur radio operators who have moved out of the area, or unfortunately some of them have become silent keys and passed away. So avail yourself of that resource. It's a very interesting one, and I still listen to the old audio files from it every so often. Anyway, let me drop for a second, and I'll tell you what we got planned. Okay, we got a normal regular night, no special presentations, at least to my knowledge. We will ask people to get on the list if you have a question or a topic for discussion or a comment to make. If you discussed something in the past and you'd like to tell us how it all worked out, or you have new questions, or you just want to bring up different topics and discuss them, that's fine. I would hope that the first few will be amateur radio related, but as always, I'm pretty much open to any kind of discussion of science and technology. I will try my best to add something to the discussion. We will see what happens. That should take us to 10:15, hopefully, and 10:15, Paul, WS2N, will start, give us the SpaceNet report, which should take us to approximately 11 p.m., and I will return to tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the coming week. So that's the plan. If nothing breaks down, my shack, the repeater, the Internet, the universe, what have you. So that's it. I will open the technical net for questions, topics, and comments. Anyone who has any, please hit that push to talk and give me your first name and your call sign.
N2XCN, ham radio related.
Alpha Delta 2 Delta Uniform, Alex.
Wes and Alex are recognized. Anyone else want to put their name on the list for tonight?
Good evening, everybody. Kilo Delta 2, Romeo Echo Kilo, supporting.
Okay, thank you for supporting. Wes, you want to go first, or in addition to the ham-related topics, are there a whole bunch of other topics? And would you rather, because of that, go second?
It's up to you. No, I happen to be not prepared for other topics. I have two topics, ham-related. It's up to you, whatever you want.
Okay, if it's just ham-related, you'll go first if you want. So, Wes, you're on.
Okay. So I sent to Dr. Roy a link with IC-905. And I recalled after we exchanged emails that we spoke about it, but I simply didn't catch it. I didn't realize that this is the very much special radio, the newest one from Michael. And then Dr. Roy congratulated me for buying it. I didn't buy it. But then I thought, yeah, this is not a bad idea to buy it. I mean, it's something that never existed, something that nobody has apart from Dr. Roy and few lucky guys, and I would be the next one. I was mostly in very low frequency area, and I have an entire lab that has all of the capabilities. And then I'm reading something. Wow, 10 gigahertz. Wow! Wow! And then it looks like I have everything that everybody dreams about. And then it's like it is two parts of it. It's not one part of it. And it comes in a big suitcase and has everything in it. And you don't have to think too much. And then I ask Dr. Roy to give me some advice and some explanation from his experience for that radio. So I would like to know what configuration Dr. Roy has and what he thinks about it. Is it worth to be purchased? It's $2,699.95. Dr. Roy.
Okay, we have a whole bunch of misunderstandings. You sent me an email. That's the September 19th at 3:05 p.m. And it basically gave the specs on the ICOM 905, which is what we're talking about, by the way, gentlemen. It's the ICOM 905 kind of plus. And at the very bottom, it said, quote, I have an ICOM IC905 West. So I assume from the fact that you typed in, I have an ICOM IC 905 West, that you have a ICOM 905 So I'm a little confused by the email. I assumed after the fact that maybe you cut and pasted or something, and then put your name at the bottom of it. So it still doesn't quite make that much sense to me. But I don't own a ICOM 905. I'm aware of it. It's a nice bit of a kit, as it were. It started life purely as a all modes UHF VHF radio. And a few years ago, I believe ICOM at one of those Japanese ham conventions showed a prototype of an add-on feature for it that would basically act as a transverter up to the microwave frequency so that you could also use your 905 for microwaves. If you're into satellites and you're into all that fancy stuff and you want the shiniest, best UHF, VHF, all-mode radio, it's a lovely little radio. I don't own it because I don't really need something that's awesome. And I've never really played around with microwave. I left that for Dick, K2RIW. But, you know, it's a very, it has nice specs and it's a beautiful radio. Whether it's worth the $2,700, probably if you figure out all the functionality, but I have very little need for most of its functionality. So I probably wouldn't buy it. Every so often I look at the ICOM 705, which is a kind of a QRP all-in-one, and say, gee, it's real cute. It would be a great little toy to play with. But, you know, because it's only QRP, and to make it anything but QRP would require a vast investment in space and money, I've always kind of put it in the back of my head as, you know, if I ever see a real massive sale, maybe I'll buy it just as a toy to play with. But, you know, the 905, like I said, it looks very nice, has great specs. It's a little bit outside of my needs, so I probably would not invest in it even during a sale.
Okay, so here is the explanation for misunderstanding. I sent you the email, and then I gave you the link to the YouTube, and the YouTube video is named I Have an ICOM IC905. And underneath, under that wording, I have an ICOM IC905, you have a link, very small link, the small print to that YouTube. So probably you didn't notice that link, but you understood that I have that ICOM. It is beautiful radio, so it's 144, 432, 440, 1200, which is 23 centimeters, 2400, which is the frequency occupied by Wi-Fi, the old type, 56 megahertz, 5600 megahertz, 5.6 gigahertz, which is the second band of the Wi-Fi, plus 10 gigahertz. It's an old mode transceiver, IC905. The IC905 is the industry first microwave rig, and it has multi-mode operation, including SSBA, AM, FM, D-Star, DV/DD, and FM TV, amateur TV. So right from the screen, you can have a live TV, amateur TV, with another station capable of such feature. It outputs power of 10 watts on 2 meters, 70 centimeters, and 23 centimeters. On 1200 megahertz, it has 2 watts. On 2400 and 5600, it's half of a watt, and as well, it's on 10 gigahertz. Back to you.
Okay, yeah, you gave the specs. Also, not only was the link in small print, but in light blue coloration, so it practically faded into the background. So I don't think I clicked on it. I just saw the text that said have an ICOB IC 905, and I figured that you were telling me that. It's sort of a shame. Andy, WA2CDL, would have probably liked something like that because he was into FMTV, although unfortunately FMTV is a kind of a local phenomena, and the few people who used it around when he was playing with it have kind of retired from the hobby. A gentleman in his mid-90s who, isn't able to, get around as well as he once did. So one of the things that I remember Andy lamenting was that he had no one to play FMTV with anymore.
Oh, yeah, we all miss him. A wonderful person, and he gave wonderful lectures.
Yes, indeed. A wonderful man. A mensch.
Okay, so I'm thinking about it. One of the reasons is not really related to ham radio. I did make some testing for interface wave, I mean wave in the surface wave in the interface, which is it has so many different subgroups. One of them is polaritron, but polaritron mostly is in the area of nanometers, which is light frequencies. But at 144 megahertz, I was able to test the receiver and the transmitter pair based on the foil on the ground in the length of 30 meters, 90 feet. So that there were two antennas, one was at the end, one was at the front of it, and that antenna was actually the Tesla coil with regulated height of the top capacitor. That was one of the means of impedance matching of the device to the complex thruster angle. So because foil on the ground is a conducting medium and air over it is the dielectric medium, we had a perfect match for two-dimensional interface, which is the waveguide. And now I thought that with abilities of 10 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz and eventually 23 centimeters, I would be able to provide similar tests.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, in practical terms, I don't know of any generic, regular ham radio manufacturers that sell radios that do microwave out of the box. I mean, there are transverters out there. There's a place down in Florida that I bought a 70-centimeter transverter that also sells microwave transverters. So, if you want to go a little bit on the cheap, you can just buy a far less expensive, they're not cheap, but they're less expensive probably than $2,700, microwave transverter. The problem is probably they don't sell multi-band transverters. Each transverter is kind of optimized for a single microwave frequency. So, if your interests are in kind of expanding your work on waveguide, two-dimensional waveguides on 2.5 gigs, 5 gigs, and 10 gigs, this is probably a reasonable way of doing it.
I remember Dick was very big in waveguides. I'm not sure if he ever was experimenting or working in the area of two-dimensional waveguides, which is standard right now and being used in practice by commercial devices. Microstrip is one of them, but that is in the frequency of nanometers. There are plenty of them, but we're not going to that right now. I have another one from Ham Radio, which is ICOM. ICOM that is operating on 2 meters only. But before I go to it, I would need to say that it is explosive subject, and I have been researching it for quite a good few days. Let me drop. Okay, so everything starts not from ICOM, which is the ham radio, but it starts from pager. Most of us, when we were young, we were using pagers instead of cell phones because cell phones were very difficult to get and too bulky and cost too much and so on and so on and so on. So we use pagers. So I'm referring it to last Tuesday. I have two stories, short story and a long story. In the short story, of course, this is my interpretation, might be different. So, short story. Gold Apollo, Hong Kong, an electronic manufacturer in Taiwan, made pagers. According to Wikipedia, Israeli opened proxy company in Budapest, Hungary, BAEC Consulting. This was registered as a new company on May 21, 2022. This company asked Taiwanese to give them license to use their trade name on pages made by another company and pay them for it. Those pages were delivered to Iran, and Iran modified them. That's according to Wikipedia. Possibly, Iranian did it to be able to blow those who they decided to be eliminated. In small parts, the pages were delivered to Lebanon, to Hezbollah. Israeli know the code to blow them all at the same time. So Israeli did it. The modified pages were blown and around 3,000 people were hurt. Many of them lost eyes, and many of them were killed. Let me drop. Now, the long story is a little more accurate, but again, this is my interpretation, and I'm going to use the wording customer X, not to use the wording that, I mean, there would be some sort of code. So, long story. Gold Apollo, Hong Kong, an electronic manufacturer in Taiwan, made pagers. Gold Apollo had exported 26,000 pages AR924 model from 2022 to August 2024, primarily to European American markets. An agent, BAC Consulting in Europe, whom Hong Kong have cooperated with for 3 years, was the agent for all Gold Apollo products. The owner of the company was Christina Barsone Archidiacono. She is 49, the Italian-Hungarian CEO, owner of and chief executive. Christiana Barsone Arcadio is also PhD. Among her academic achievements, she boasts PhD and several master degrees from prestigious UK institutions. That's from BBC. While RSERL confirmed her PhD from University College in London, other universities have not responded yet. End of quote. BEC Consulting, which was registered as a limited liability company in May 22, with 725,000 in revenue in year 22 and 593,000 in year 24, according to company registry. She decided to open a shell company in Sofia, Bulgaria, which is Europe. The shell company is Norta Global Ltd. Registered in Sofia in April 2022. That one was possibly the one that made deal with Thailand manufacturer. I have the address. I'm not going to give it over the radio. The two badges shipment parts, so there were two badges of the beepers. They were made there. One for Iranian and another one for customer X. Customer X modified them and then exchanged them on the ship that was transporting the pages from Thailand to whatever. And it was exchanged like box for box. I'm giving you $1, you're giving you $1. The modified pages ended in Iranian hands and then were delivered to Hezbollah. One of the Hezbollah found something suspicious and he was eliminated. The other one found it too, and there was not a choice, but customer X decided to blow them all. At precisely 11:43 a.m., September 17, 2024, Tuesday. After that, customer X decided to blow ICOM ham radio IC-V82, and that was not as easy as with the pages. All of them contain presumably explosive PETN. And now I'm going to what is PETN. I need to open the page. Hold on. Okay. Yes, I have it. Petra Penteritroyl Needed, also known as PENT, pentyl, penta, also used by Russians, or mostly used by Russians. Now we need to understand that the company that was in Hungary, the president of Hungary, is a very much controversial person. It looks like he is dealing directly with President Putin. Okay, so it is the most powerful and lethal explosive known to men. It has gained, its fame due to its involvement in devastating terrorist attacks and military operations. So the pager had about 3 grams of that material. Presumably that material, let's say. We say 3 paper clips. And when ICOM was blown very next day, which was Wednesday, they had about 7 to 30 grams of that material. So that was huge explosion. I have so far that, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Roy for his comment and anybody else, and then I can go further. Dr. Roy.
Okay, Wesley. I'm not quite sure if this is amateur radio really related, but okay. There's a lot of different stories, and some of the things that you mentioned I heard some people talk about, and others I did not. I did not hear about the Iranians modified and put explosives in their own equipment. They do act wacky at times. I think that's a little too wacky, even for the imams. So I tend to doubt that they auto-destructed equipment that they gave to their own terrorists. They support them, and they basically pay all the bills. So if they have any problems with Hezbollah, they basically just threaten to cut off the money and the bombs, and they do what they're told. So I doubt that they're going to blow them up. So what the material is, whether it's PTN or whether it's HMX, there's a lot of high explosives out there. I have not definitively heard that it is definitely PTN, and usually it's quoted as something between 20 to 30 grams of explosives, not two or three. And there's a bunch of other little things I have problems with. You're kind of telling the story. The company that manufactures pagers and brand names them is in Taiwan. The Hungarian company, which looks like a regular consulting company, that's also been used as a front end for some spy network, bought the rights to sell products under that name and probably arrange for something to go on in Bulgaria. Maybe that's where they put the modules in. The story I heard that there were small explosive and signal activating modules that were added into the pagers. There's a lot more on the subject, and maybe we'll be able to discuss it as the night progresses. But that's the big points as far as I'm aware.
No, the hemorrhage related is because the next device that was blown was ICV-82, and that's a ham radio that operates at 2 meters, and it's so nicely packed. It was a good radio used by ham radio operators. They love it so much. And there was no much place to do it. And another way is how the triggering device was done. So, yes, there is a lot to this to that story. I do not want to go too much to the details. I'm not sure if it's appropriate to reveal how you can modify a radio to make an explosive inside, or how you can modify the pager so the pagers would blow. But one of the things that I could say is, one of the ways is that the signal was sent to the radio, so the battery heat up. And when it heat up, it actually activated the mechanism of blowing of that explosive material. So imagine that you have a 1200 amp hour battery, but now you change it, or you open that battery and you change that battery to 400 amp hour, which is also in specification. But the radio was stopped to be manufactured by ICOM in 2014. But anyhow, now you're putting the battery inside So now you have a plenty of space to put something inside, and the only what you need is for the radio to send the signal to make the battery overheat. Back to you.
Well, again, it's an interesting idea. I've not heard anyone else out there mention that it has anything to do with overheating the battery. Usually the empty space you can find to stuff something is around the battery area, because they kind of fill it with lithium polymer batteries to begin with. So, again, not quite sure. There are near infinite way of detonating high explosives without necessarily causing the battery to short out. And matter of fact, I would think that that would be a bit of a liability, because if your battery is kind of on the low end of charged, then it may not go off. So if I was designing something, I would probably just design it with some kind of RF sensing circuit and a trigger that just blows a fuse that's embedded in the high explosives, and spare yourself the problem of dealing with guys who can't remember to charge their pagers.
Yeah, you have a strong point, but as I say, is I believe I know how they did it. I just don't want to go into it. The total death toll in the first attack has risen to 39, and more than 3,000 were injured. A 9-year-old girl and 11-year-old boy were killed. The adult son of Ali Amar, a Hezbollah member of parliament, was also killed. The Iranian ambassador to Lebanon lost one eye. In the second wave, where the ICOM ham radio transceiver was blown, that was 18th of September, 25 people were killed and 708 were injured. Also, there was an interesting story. I got the link, and I looked at the video, and I sent the link to Dr. Roy. And then only I sent the link, I found out I'm trying to review the video, and I see that the video is not the same video. I mean, it's the same video, but the content was changed. So all of those very much graphic explosions, humongous ones. I mean, I saw the explosion from the facade of the building, like a blow. And it's not like a blow when you have the AK-45 or the American machine gun, and you're shooting to the concrete. No, it was like a blow, like from the grenade. So that was the blow. So possibly that was the radio ICOM that was blowing out. Now, I saw the car that exploded. I saw another car in flame. I saw also that during the funeral, the very next day, which was the Wednesday, the radios exploded, and I saw the graphic, what happened and how much of strength it was. It was like a really powerful explosive, so it couldn't come from the pager at all. And unfortunately, that content was modified, so the link was the same, but the content was modified. So Dr. Roy couldn't see that graph. Back to you, Dr. Roy.
Yeah, I don't remember if that's the YouTube, but there was one YouTube that I saw this week where, as I was watching it, it blacked out and it said that it had been turned to private. So probably what happened was YouTube's algorithm takes a little bit of time, and when they see something that looks like it's massive destruction, they basically cancel it. And sometimes the person who put it up will modify it and either pixelate it or show other images or refer to external sources. Also, there were laptops involved. So the story was that over the last few years, someone, probably Mossad, has been salting Hezbollah with laptops and handy talkies and recently pagers. And someone discovered the pager situation, and before it became general knowledge, it forced whoever is in charge of that to blow up everything, because they failed that. They felt that otherwise people would discover it and it would be to naught. They were kind of clever with the pagers. Some people will mention that children were injured because people carry pagers usually on their belts, and so that's about the height of a young person, so it blew up in children's faces if they were standing next to guys who were in Hezbollah.
But actually, the story I heard was that the pager was programmed when it got the trigger. It started to make a lot of noise and put on the screen important message from command, so that people would be motivated to put it close to their eyes to find out what was going on. That's why people lost so many eyeballs for that.
Oh, yeah. It's not only eyeballs, it were fingers that were out, blown out. So I'm going to quote the New York Times. At the beginning of the year, Hezbollah Commander Hassan Nasrallah gave strict instruction to his cadres that they were in immense danger, and their families as well. So they should discontinue to use mobile phones because Israel is tracking their phones, their positions, and capturing all of the data from the phones using the spyware as a Pegasus or another malware. Then Lebanon decided to use the absolute pages so they were not susceptible to any kind of surveillance or tracking. Apparently, with the help of Iran, they placed the order for 5,000 pages with the company called Alpha Gold, which actually later on we find out that, I mean, not Alpha Gold, there was the Taiwanese Alpha Gold, hold on, let me see how, Gold Apollo, I'm sorry, Gold Apollo, yes. So then we find out that Gold Apollo said that they didn't do it. Then we have the Hungary company, that we have another shell company in Sofia, Bulgaria, and Hungarian company said that, I'm sorry, that they didn't do anything wrong, they are just intermediary, but of course they were licensed to use the name of the Taiwanese company on any company pagers. So then we assume that the Sofia company, the shell company, was the one who made the deal with Thailand company, and that's what happened. But the thing is that the world started to protest that it is inhuman, just. And the panic of the people who say, hey, I'm using radio, I'm using something, whatever, electronics, or my TV is going to blow at some point, maybe. So now it's like some hysteria in some areas of the world. That should not happen. Dr. Wright.
Well, you know, there's a lot of sound and fury in the world. A lot of people who don't quite know what they're talking about, and a lot of people who are crying, the sky is falling. One of the interesting things is Hezbollah has a lot more people than 5,000 in Lebanon, unfortunately. I think they claim to have 100,000 soldiers. Some people think it's maybe 30 or 40,000. Obviously, they didn't just hand out the pages to every rank and file Hezbollah. They handed them out to the movers and the shakers, the guys in the higher levels of the organization. So, I'd hate to be on the other end of the damn pages, but, you know, Hezbollah is a problematic organization. They are recognized generally as a terrorist organization, so they're not a government. They're just kind of squatting in Lebanon. So it's unfortunate that, once again, there are people who were innocents who were standing next to these idiots, and they got bombed. That's unfortunately what violence does. But, I don't think anyone here has to worry about their pages, especially since I haven't seen a page in maybe 10 years. I used to carry them when I was, the first one I carried was in medical school. I came early on a Saturday morning when the resident hadn't arrived yet, and so the previous resident who wanted to leave gave me what he called the crash
pager, which is when people have cardiac arrest and they call the cardiac team, which is usually the chief resident at the time, they gave it to me, the medical student. So I've always had an ambivalent a feeling towards pages ever since then.
Yeah, pages are things of the past, but that's why Hezbollah decided that they're gonna use it. And when you go to Wikipedia and you open up the page with it, you're gonna see that they directly say that it was Iranians who modified the pagers. It was Iranians who delivered the pages to Hezbollah. There are different kind of sources. But the interesting thing is that Prime Minister Viktor Orban of Hungary, that is, for me, of course I have a right to my opinion, for me it's a Putin's puppet. He said that Hungary had nothing to do with the pages. The pages were never delivered or never in the territory of Hungary. But for some reason, a few hours later, that was Wednesday, the web page of BAC Consulting disappeared. She stopped to respond to the phone calls. And the office she was at was the private house, the corner private house. Let me drop. So it looks like whether that was somebody's idea or some media idea or some power idea to point that actually, and that was one of the articles of one of the famous New York media, that actually Israeli didn't tamper with the pagers, they made them. They were the one who made them. So Hezbollah wanted them, and they delivered that to them. But true Iran. So what is the truth on it? We don't know, and I don't want to go into it too much. It was for me just to say how ham radio operator could suddenly discover that his favorite radio was used by somebody else who didn't have any interest in ham radio and wanted to harm other people. Whether this is good or bad is not my business to say. I'm not going to take the sides. I'm a Jew and I'm proud of it. I'm also American. Dr. Roy.
Okay, number one, Wikipedia is not a legitimate source. Given enough time, often the forces that interact through editors at Wikipedia replace complete nonsense with useful information. But especially after an event, and anyone who knows how to code HTML can put up any wiki page that they pretty much want. So I would not use Wikipedia as the source. If Wikipedia offered sources, which they're supposed to at the bottom, then I would look at those sources and see whether they make any sense. By the way, Frank WB2BXO was trying to get in on EchoLink, but everyone, including myself, is quick keying him. So let's all pause with the push to talk and give Frank a chance.
Yeah, very good, WB2BXL here. I have a couple of concerns and questions about this from an amateur radio or point of view. Would you like to hear them now or defer them until you're done with your current conversation on the pager and ICOM radio issue?
I think we beat all of the bushes about it, so let's finish my session now and go to the ham radio and to Exia.
Okay, we'll control. And Roy, my questions are related to the subject, but sort of from the ham radio point of view. Roy, would you like me to go ahead?
Sure, the more the merrier. I have no problem with that.
Okay. I guess I'm old-fashioned, having been licensed since the 70s when I'm on internet, I had to get sort of net control. Let's see. Three sort of ham radio-related questions. First of all, we've obviously all heard that these were ICOM HTs that the Israelis blew up. I'd love to know which models, so I make sure I never buy one on the secondary market. Because though it's unlikely, I would imagine that some of those that the Israelis tampered with and did not blow up could be circulating in the secondary market for many years. Second of all, I wonder if it's going to be very difficult now to carry an HT on an airliner or on any form of public transportation because people are going to be concerned about it. Something I used to do a lot before the days of cell phones. I rarely bother now, but there still could be occasions when I would want to carry an HT with me. And from a technical point of view, it would be interesting to know how the Israelis sent the bat signal, so to speak, for both attacks. The pager seems relatively easy. It was hacked. I would assume it was hacked into the central site that was transmitting the page signals. The HT, it seems like they would have had to do that, might have done that from an aircraft or satellite. But I wonder what you, if you've heard anything about that. Go ahead, Roy.
Okay, fine, Frank. I don't remember the model. I think it's a monobander, an old kind of version that, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't spend money on a monoband handy-talky. I think Wesley mentioned the model number, so Wesley, if you're out there, can you repeat the model number for Frank?
IC-V82 or IC-V82-T or IC-U82. Back to you.
WS21.
Yes, Paul.
I have the ICOM V8, and then the V82 was, you know, it came after it. Great radio, 2 meter only, and I had it for many years. But, you know, I had the nickel metal hydride batteries, which were good, and 2 battery packs for it, and I would switch them back and forth. But I haven't used that in a long time. I still have it sitting under the desk. I just used a different one by Olinko. But, yeah, it's the... That I heard that as well. It's the ICOM V82 that they were using. So, you know, it's a good solid feel to the radio, so you wouldn't notice if a couple of grams were added to it. Back to you, Roy.
Okay, very good, Paul. You have to also add in that in addition to the ICOM and the pager, there were laptops that were laced with explosives, and they probably all had different triggering type of devices. You would imagine that, you know, if for some weird reason you decided to get an out-of-date monoband handy-talky that came out of Iran, you also would need the trigger codes. So the chances of randomly receiving the trigger codes probably are infinitesimal. So I don't really know if that's going to make anything a little bit more dangerous. And it's perfectly possible that irrational human beings, being irrational human beings, will not allow people to have to carry handy talkies or even to load them in the cargo because of this. Although, you know, I mean, by the same logic, they should carry out the same thing for laptops, which is going to kill the customer. motivation to go on whatever company does that. So I wouldn't put it past people, but I think this is a very, very, very unusual situation that is kind of limited. I don't see it becoming a thing like school shootings. I hope not, but I think this was a very, very meticulously well-planned operation from some spy group to just decimate the other side. I understand reports that Hezbollah like chickens with their heads cut off, so it seems to have been effective in the short haul. It may unfortunately accelerate military actions because the Israelis may feel that this is their best time to solve their Hezbollah problem along with their other many problems that are giving the rest of the world their own set of problems. Okay, Wesley, comment.
Okay, so we had pages in the issue that we had the ham radio blowing to the anchor.
Thank you very much for your for giving time to me.
Okay, let's go back to Frank.
Yeah, very good. And yeah, Wesley's audio is a little better now. You wonder if there are going to be concerns, even though it does seem extremely unlikely that one of those HTs that was not blown up would find its way into the secondary market here in the United States. We still wonder if people, airlines and public transit systems are going to be concerned. After all, they still won't let you carry your water bottle on a plane because one person tried to blow up a plane with liquid in the water bottle. So, I think there's a profit motive there also because you can, it lets the vendors inside the security zone in the airport charge you double whatever it is to buy water. But that's another story. Anyway, you have to wonder what's, you know, whether some people are going to be concerned. And, by the way, there was a station in Isfahan, Iran, on 20 meters a couple of weeks ago, who said he was running a completely home-built 50-watt sideband station with a home-built antenna. Some of those guys are pretty sophisticated and pretty good. Go ahead, Roy.
Well, yeah, I mean, when we talk about terrorists, we kind of think of these...